All right, let's jump into a deep dive that might just change how you look at global politics. We're diving into a piece that uses, get this, Ethiopian football as a metaphor to understand how power works in the country. And the Amhara Fano, you know, the group we've been hearing about in the news, well, they're depicted as this new team that's come in and is shaking up the entire league.
Yeah, it's a really smart way to make us actually picture what's going on in Ethiopia right now. And this source we're looking at, it doesn't mess around. It jumps right into this metaphor comparing the Ethiopian Premier League to the country's entire political scene.
Okay, so break it down for me. How does a football league become like a stand-in for a whole country's politics?
Well, you got to get how important football is in Ethiopia. It's more than just a game, right? It's national pride. It's this intense competition. It's a way people connect with their ethnic group, their region. So when this piece turns different political groups into these football teams, it's tapping into all those existing emotions and rivalries people already have. It makes the analysis, you know, instantly something people can connect with.
So it's like each team's jersey isn't just their colors. It's like their history, their political alliances, all that.
Exactly. And that's where we come to the Amhara Fano, this team that's really making everyone take notice in this metaphorical league. They're described as totally new, just stepping onto the field. No big sponsors, no fancy equipment. Like, they're playing barefoot compared to these big powerhouse teams.
And the source even says they came into the league trusting the creator from above and the spirit from below. I don't think I've heard that pregame pep talk before. What's the meaning behind that line?
Now, that's where things get really interesting. On one hand, it shows how the Amhara Fano see themselves, right? Like these righteous underdogs picked by, you know, a higher power to challenge the way things are. But it also makes you think about how political movements become seen as legitimate. Do they need support from the ground up? Or can they rely on this kind of strong belief system? It's a fascinating dynamic.
It's almost as if they're saying, we don't need fancy sponsors or political deals. We have faith on our side. But who are they up against in this league? Who are the bad guys in this story?
Well, the source, it paints the established teams as representing other ethnic groups and their powerful sponsors. For example, you've got the Tigray team. They're shown as having this strong backing from the U.S., which kind of hints at the historical connection between America and the Tigray People's Liberation Front, or TPLF.
Well, hold on. Can we rewind for a second? For those who might need a reminder, who are the TPLF?
Yeah.
And why is their link to the U.S. a big deal?
Sure, yeah. The TPLF is a political party, and they were like the top dogs in Ethiopian politics for almost 30 years. And they did have these close ties with the U.S., especially at certain points, which definitely shaped their power and the policies they made. Now, in this metaphor, that historical relationship is shown by the U.S. sponsoring their team. It adds another whole layer, right? Because it suggests these internal power struggles are often tied up with global politics and interests.
Okay, wow. So we've got this new team, the Amhara Fano, entering a league that's dominated by these powerhouse teams, each with their own international backers. It's starting to feel less like a football game and more like some kind of geopolitical thriller.
And here's where the metaphor gets even more interesting. The source says that lots of people thought the Amhara Fano would totally flop. Even a sports reporter who was connected to the TPLF said publicly they would collapse.
Wait, even a sports commentator is part of the political drama? That really shows you how deep these divisions go.
Exactly. The fact that even someone linked to the former ruling party, the TKLF, was so quick to dismiss the Amhara Fano, well, it speaks volumes about how strong everyone thought the established order was and how much they doubted this new group could actually shake things up. It's like they totally underestimated this new kid on the block.
But here's the twist. The Amhara Fano, they aren't just surviving, they're actually doing really well. The source says they're steadily gaining points, surprising all the experts with how they're performing. It's like watching a classic underdog story unfold right in front of us.
Pretty amazing to see, right? They're proving everyone wrong. But it's not just luck. The fact that they can hold their own against these giants, even without a lot of resources, it might show how much their real-world influence is growing. Makes you wonder, what's their strategy? How are they pulling off these wins?
Well, the source says they're running on a different kind of fuel. They might not have those big sponsors, but they have this strong sense of unity, of purpose. Remember that line, trusting the creator above and the spirit below? It's like they're getting strength from something, something beyond just material stuff.
Yeah, it's like their identity is their secret weapon. While other teams are relying on outside support, the Amhara Fano are banking on their shared beliefs and their willpower to succeed. It's a powerful message, especially when so many people feel like they're pushed aside or ignored.
So you're saying their success, at least in this metaphor, it's not just about scoring goals, it's about changing what it even means to win in Ethiopian politics.
You got it. It's about saying, we have the right to be here, to be heard, to shape the future. They're changing the rules of the game, and that's a big deal.
But there's a catch, right? The source makes a point of saying that even though they're doing well on the field, the Amhara-Fasano are still struggling to get the same level of fan support as those more established teams. It's like they're winning games, but the stands are practically empty.
And that brings up a really important point to think about. Can a team or even a political movement really succeed without the support of a bigger community? Can they make lasting changes without building those alliances and getting people on their side?
That's a good question. It makes you think that maybe just relying on that inner strength and belief might not
Yeah.
be enough in the long run.
Yeah.
They might be racking up points now, but can they keep that going without more fans?
Exactly. The source really highlights this by comparing the Amhara Fano to teams like, say, Osino and Adan. These teams, they represent other groups, and they have these huge vocal fan bases. It's like they represent that kind of broad appeal that you often need for real, lasting political success.
Okay, so if we're really going to understand this metaphor, who are these other teams exactly, and what makes their fan bases so important?
Well, it gets kind of complicated, but basically each team represents a different part of Ethiopian society, and each one comes with its own history of grievances, its own political goals, its own relationships with those outside powers, like Achino and Adan, for instance. They could represent groups that have traditionally had more power, more influence, and those big fan bases, well, they reflect that existing support.
I see how layered this whole metaphor is. It's not just a simple game. It's reflecting all these different dynamics
Yeah.
happening in Ethiopian society.
For sure. And the source takes it even further by emphasizing the role of these international sponsors. You know, like how America is backing the Tigray team. That's not just a random detail. It's highlighting how foreign powers have always been involved in shaping Ethiopian politics, often supporting different groups to get what they want.
So it's like each team isn't just playing for themselves. They're like pieces in this bigger geopolitical game.
That's a great way to put it. And this is why this matters to you. The source is reminding us that what happens inside a country is rarely just about that country. It's often tangled up with global power plays and alliances. Getting those connections is key to seeing the bigger picture.
It really makes you think, if every team has their own sponsor, what kind of game are they really playing? And who actually benefits from their wins and losses?
Now, that's a great question. And it takes us to another level of this metaphor. The source isn't just describing a situation that's fixed. It's saying that the whole league itself is changing, the rules are being challenged, and the balance of power is shifting.
So it's not just about who wins the championship this year. It's about who gets to rewrite the rules of the entire game.
Exactly. And the Amhara Fano, even though they're the underdogs, they're shaking things up. They're showing that you can challenge those in power, even without those traditional forms of support. Their success, even in this metaphor, is raising questions about how power works and who gets to decide how things are run.
But not having a strong fan base.
Yeah.
That suggests they've still got a long way to go. It's like they're winning battles, but
Yes.
they haven't won the war for people's hearts and minds.
You got it. And that's the exciting part. The metaphor leaves us with this cliffhanger. Will the Amhara Fano be able to keep up this momentum and turn their wins on the field into real, lasting political change?
Or will they get sucked into the same system they're trying to change? Will they have to compromise what they believe in just to be accepted by more people? Makes you think about how complicated political change really is. It's not just about grabbing power, right? It's about creating a whole movement that can change the way the game is played.
And that's what's so cool about this football metaphor. It shows those tensions so clearly. You've got the Amhara Fano driven by this powerful sense of mission, taking on the old guard. But at the same time, they're dealing with the limits of just relying on ideology, on this it's us against the world kind of thinking. If they really want to change the whole league, they might need to figure out how to connect with more people to build those alliances that can really spread their message.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading about a totally different political situation in South America, and they were using like a sports analogy too. It's almost like it's this universal language. We use it to understand these complex power struggles.
It's true. Metaphors can cut through all the noise
Yeah.
and make those big abstract ideas something we can relate to. They can sneak in these profound concepts by using something familiar, like a football match or a boxing fight.
And it's not just about getting the metaphors, it's about figuring out who's using them and why. Like you said before, each team has their sponsor. their own interests behind what they do. So when we see these metaphors, we got to ask ourselves, whose story is this really telling?
Exactly. It's about developing that critical eye, that ability to see past the surface and question the assumptions that are built into these stories. Because a lot of times, the most powerful stories are the ones you don't even realize are shaping how we see things.
It's like they say, the best propaganda is the kind you don't even know you're being fed.
Precisely. That's why the source we're looking at is so important. It's not just giving us an analysis of Ethiopian politics. It's making us think critically about how these narratives are created and how metaphors can both shine a light on the truth and hide it at the same time.
So zooming out from this specific example, what's the big takeaway for our listeners? What should they be watching for when they see these kinds of metaphors in the news or in political speeches?
I'd say the key is to always look deeper. Ask yourself, who are the real players in this story? What do they want? And who wins if this story is the one people believe? Once you start peeling back those layers, you'll often find a picture that's way more nuanced and complicated than what's on the surface.
It's like we're all referees in this giant game of global politics, always trying to catch the fouls and make sure everyone's playing fair.
That's a great way to put it. And don't forget, the rules of the game are always up for debate. Who gets to decide how the game is played? Who decides what a win or a loss even means? These are the bigger questions this source is making us think about.
Well, on that note, I think we're going to wrap up this deep dive. But before we go, got to ask, what's one question this whole football metaphor has left you thinking about?
The big one for me is, can a team that's so focused on ideology and identity really bring about lasting change? Or will they eventually have to appeal to a wider group of people, maybe even compromise a bit, to build those bigger alliances that are often needed for real political success? It's this tension we see in political movements all over the world, and it's something I'll definitely be watching.
That's a great thought to leave our listeners with, a reminder that even the most compelling stories, the most powerful metaphors, they're just the beginning. The real work starts when we start asking those tough questions, challenging what we think we know, and really exploring the complexities of the world around us. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep your eye on the ball.